Shkeich to Heshi Kalas of ringing Shalot and the Kugel tonight?
Yes.
Pashas Vayikra starts off with the meaning of Kavanos. Pasuk Beis, at the beginning of the parasha, Daber Rabbi Yisrael, Vilmarta Aleihem, Adam Ki Yakriv Mikem, Karbon Lashem. A person who will bring from among you a Karbon Lashem. And Rashi right away is bothered why the Pasuk uses the word Adam. Adam. Says Rashi, Lama Nema. Why does it say Adam? To teach us, Ma Adam Arishon Leikriv Min HaGezel. Just like Adam Arishon did not bring Karbonis from Gezel, Wa Shakoha Yoshiloi. Everything was his. So too, you, us, should be careful not to bring Karbonis from Gezel. Medrishon Vayikra Rabba. The Kleyoko explains beautifully. The Pasuk is teaching us, Adam Ki Yakiv Mikem Karbon Hashem. The Pasuk is teaching us how one should approach a carbon, how one should bring a carbon. And the Kleyoko says, who bought the first Karbonis in history?
Adam.
Cain and Hevel. Cain and Hevel bought the first Karbonis. And says the Kleyoko, the Pasuk is teaching us how one should be careful to bring Karbonis and not follow in the mistakes of Cain or in the mistakes of Hevel. Cain, says the Kleyoko, is partial. We know what mistake Cain made. Cain was Nichshal, that he bought Pishton, he bought Zerah Pishton flax for a carbon, min ha-pachos, min ha-grua, from that which was inferior, not worth much. Cain did not bring a carbon from that which was chashuv. So the pasuk bring a carbon, min ha-behema, min ha-bako, min ha-tzoin, but a person brings a carbon, it has to be from that which is chashuv, not stam from Zerah Pishton that Cain brought to this. Hevel, says the Kleyaka, was also Nichshal. Even though Hevel bought the Chayrus Sinai from the best of the sheep, Mechalvehen, still Loi Toivaisa. Hevel did not do the best. Why? Because Hevel did not have the desire to bring a carbon on his own. The only reason that Hevel bought a carbon was because he saw Cain bring a carbon. Like the Pasuk says, the Hevel Hevi Gamhu. And Hevel also brought a carbon.
Wow.
Says the Kleyakar, Gamhu, what's the Gam? And he also brought a carbon. He saw Cain, so he went ahead, and he also brought a carbon. Oh, I'm just as good as Cain. And Hevel went ahead, and he bought from his best behemoth. But it wasn't on his own. And that was a mistake that Hevel made. Says the Pasuk, Adam Ki Yakriv Mikem. Just like Adam HaRishayim. Adam, if Adam would bring a carbon, it would have to be because he wanted to. There was nobody else to learn from.
Right.
Who would Adam be copying? He wouldn't be copying anybody else. Adam would do it on his own. So the word Adam is merame, is that a person should have this iris, the desire to bring a carbon on his own. Ki yakriv mikem, it should come mikem from you. You shouldn't bring the carbon because you saw somebody else do it. Oh, I have to live up to the expectations and bring a carbon also. But it's Adam ki yakriv mikem. A person has to bring it from you. A person on his own should feel the need to go ahead and bring a carbon. And then, if a person does so, then it's a carbon l'Hashem. Then it's a carbon l'Hashem. That's accepted. That's a carbon to Hashem. So the Pasuk is teaching us how to bring a carbon. It has to be from you. A person should have the desire, the rotzen on his own, and not just because he saw somebody else do it. And it shouldn't be from the pishtam, but min avahema, min aboko, umin atzoyim. Okay? This goes for what we do. The frat that comes to many mitzvahs, people do because we see others do it. I have to do it also. But a person should have the cheshik on his own to do a mitzvah. And like we mentioned many times, a person does a mitzvah with simcha, how much more the mitzvah is worth when he does it with simcha. I saw it over today, the Avnei Neza. Somebody came once to Avnei Neza and said to him, I don't understand. We grew up together. I was a bacha, you were a bacha, we weren't together in yeshiva. And now you learn, I learn. Yet you became a big rebbe, and I'm a little old me. What's the secret? Why were you zeicher to be a rebbe, and I'm still a little old me? And the Avnei Neza said to him, "Tell me, what do you remember? Whatever made you happy in your life? What made you happy? Tell me one of your happiest moments in your life. What made you happy?" And he said, "What made me happy? The day I won the lottery. I won the lottery. That was the happiest day of my life." And Avnei Neza said to him, "Every morning when I stretch out my arm to put on tefillin, I'm 1,000 times happier that I'm able to do the mitzvah than you are on the day you won the lottery. And since I have simcha, when I do mitzvahs, I'm happy, I'm able to do mitzvah, I have that simcha, that's why I was like..." person does mitzvahs with simcha, being happy, is zeicha to much greater levels than a person who does a mitzvah without simcha. Haman comes to Mordechai, and he has the good news to tell him that he's going to give him a ride on the horse. The king said, I should honor you. And Mordechai is sitting with a bush sock. He's sitting with a sackcloth. And Mordechai said, the Mar Megillah, as Zion says, that Mordechai was davening, and Haman waited till he finished davening. The Ben Yehoyada there asks, why did Haman wait? Haman is worried about Mordechai's davening. The king sent him to give Mordechai a ride on the horse to honor him, and Mordechai's in davening, and Haman waited. And Ben Yehoyada says something extraordinary. He says, because Haman saw Mordechai davening in a sad matzav. The matzav, he was worried, he was sad, he didn't know what was going to be. Haman knew that if he stopped Mordechai, and told him the news, Mordechai would daven mitaych simcha. And a tefillah mitaych simcha is on a much higher level than a tefillah without simcha. Wow. So Haman's cheshbon was, let him finish davening the way he is, otherwise the tefillah will be 10 times stronger, 10 times better if a tefillah comes mitaych simcha. The Adam Kiyakub Ken, everybody, it's a famous vart. This vart was used throughout history many times. But the Eilois Ephraim, the Kloyaka, besides writing the Pirish the Kloyaka on Chumash, he wrote a Pirish Eilois Ephraim. His name was Ephraim. And he brings down this vart there. This vart has been used many times throughout history. The Pasuk says, Adam Kiyakub Ken. The word Adam. So we know that in Lashon Kodesh, there are 4 words used to describe a person. A man is Ish, the word Ish, Enosh, Geber, and Adam. Of those 4, 3 of them can be plural. Lashon Rabim, except for Adam. Ish, we find the word Ishim, Enosh, Anoshim, Geber, Gevarim. Adam, there's no Edoimim, Adum, there's no plural for the word Edoim. And this Taina, this var has been used many times throughout the history. The way the Eilois Ephraim writes it, he said it happened to him. He went before the Moshe, before the ruler, the governor, to plead on behalf of the Klal, a certain Indian. When he came to plead the case on behalf of Bnei Yisrael in front of the governor, the Galach was there. And the Galach, of course, had a tremendous sin towards the Yidden. And the Galach says to the governor, don't listen to him. The Yidden, they hate us. How could you grant his bakashas? How could you grant his request? They hate us. So the governor said, yeah, you're making grave accusations. Prove it. So the Galach said, prove it. Feresh Gemara, Yivamis Samachal. What does the Gemara say in Yivamis? Atem Kruyim Adam. Voyav Dekachavim Kruyim Adam. You're called Adam, but not Goyim. Gemara's Feresh. That people who was called an Adam, who's called a person, a human being, Atem, only you. Bnei Yisrael, Atem Adam. Goyim are not called Adam. Goyim, we're animals, we're not humans. Der Talmud calls us animals, doesn't call us people. How could you respect such a person, such a religion? True. So the governor said to the Eilois Ephraim, no. How do you answer it? And he said, brilliant. He said, because in Lashon Kodesh, in our language we find there were 4 words for Adam, for a human being, for a man. There's Ish, Enosh, Gever, and Adam. All the others can be used in a plural form. It's Ish is Ishim, Enosh is Anoshim, Gev is Gevarim. Adam is the only word that does not have a plural form. It remains Adam. Whether it's one person or many, it's Adam. You don't find a plural form for Adam. And he said, the Gemara doesn't mean to say that the Goyim are animals and not Adam. The Gemara means to say that the Goyim don't have the Milo of being an Adam the way Bnei Yisrael does.
Isn't there a fifth?
What?
Isn't there a fifth word,
Bria?
Sometimes
it's not for a man specifically, is it? Not for a man specifically. The Goyim, if a tragedy happens in one country, a tragedy happens to one group of people, it's not felt by others. It happened to them and not to us. It's not our business. And forget, the Goyim fight against each other. But when you come to Bnei Yisrael, we're all connected. If Chas V'Shalom, something happens bad to a Yid in one corner of the world, all of the Yidden feel it. We all feel it. If something happens here, it's felt there. If something happens there, it's felt here. We're all connected. We're all one. All the Gemara means to say is Atam Kruim Adam. That Bnei Yisrael has that Achdos, that they're connected throughout the world. And no matter where they are, we're all Adam. We're all one. We're all considered to be one people, and we affect each other. But by the Goyim, we don't find such a concept of Adam, each nation, each guy is for himself. You don't find Adam Kriya Adam. That's how he answered. The governor was satisfied with the answer. Kol Yisrael Revim Zelazeh, all of Kol Yisrael are responsible one for another. We're all one, whether we see it, we don't see it, but Kol Yisrael, we all feel for one another. We all are together, and Kol Yisrael Revim Zelazeh. What was Haman's taina? Haman's taina was, Yeshna Yamechod, Mefuzo Mefayrid Bein Ha'amim, Mechol Medinas Machosecha. There's one nation that's spread out throughout all of your Medinas, throughout all the countries of Achashverosh. When Kol Yisrael was not together, this Pirud, Haman has Kayach. He was able to come and complain against us, and the Gezerah of Achashverosh went into effect. What was the Tikkun? Esther says to Mordechai, Leich Kinoises Kol Yehudim. Go and gather together all of the Yehudim, go gather together all of the Yehudim, Achdus. When the Yidden come together, then the Goyim can't overcome us. When the Yidden come together, we have that Kayach, Leich Kinois. Kol Yisrael is Adam. They're all together, we're all one. No matter where we are, always Adam, always taking care of one another. Adam Kiyakut Mikem, Adam refers to Klal Yisrael as a whole, because Klal Yisrael is always called Adam.
Sure.
Vayikra El Moshe. Back to the first pasuk. Sorry. Vayikra El Moshe, and everyone knows there's a small aleph at the end of the word Vayikra. If you look at pasuk aleph, Vayikra has a very small aleph. And the many reasons are given. And Zot HaBalaturim, the famous Balaturim, says the Balaturim, why is there a small Aleph at the end of Vayikra? Aleph to Vayikra Zeira, the Aleph of Vayikra is very small. Shemosha, Shayagadu Va'onov, Moshe was an Onov, Vayratza Lichtoiv Elo Vayikra. He only wanted to write Vayikra. Hashem met him by chance. Like it says by Bilam, Vayikra Kim Hashem met Bilam. Moshe didn't want to show off. Hashem called him, Roshan Chiba, and Hashem went looking for Moshe Rabbeinu. So he wanted to write Vayikar, Roshan Hashem chanced upon him, Hashem met him, Kederach Shnevuk, it says by Bilam, Ki'ilu loy nir loy Hashem, Ela b'mikris, if Hashem only met him by chance. And Hashem said to write the Aleph, so they sort of compromised and wrote a small Aleph. Moshe wanted Vayikar, Hashem wanted Vayikra, so he wrote the Aleph of Vayikra, small Vayikra, and that's why you have a small Aleph in the word Vayikra. It's one of the Kotzka says over, it says in Pashas Kisisa, Kikoran Arpanov, Moshe's face shone. And the Medrash and the Varm Rabbah brings down, from what did Moshe's face shine? What made Moshe's face shine? Medrash brings down from the extra ink. Kodesh Baruch Hu wrote the Torah, Esh Shchaira, black fire, Agabi Esh Govana, on top of white fire, and there was extra whatever ink the Sefer Torah was written. It was extra ink, and that extra ink Hashem put on Moshe, and from that extra ink, Moshe's face shone. He koran arpano, and the Kotzka asks, extra ink? Bishul, when a person writes a Sefer Torah, a person writes, I understand it could be extra. Hashem. He doesn't know exactly how much he needs. Kodesh Baruch Hu wrote the Sefer Torah. Hashem didn't know how much ink he needs to write a Sefer Torah. There was extra. So the Kotzka, it was from this small Aleph. This small Aleph, originally supposed to be written as a regular Aleph. Moshe wanted to be written small. Moshe didn't want the Aleph. They compromised on a small Aleph. So there's extra ink left over from this small Aleph. Instead of being written a big Aleph, it's written small. There's extra ink. And that was the extra ink that was left over that was used for Moshe Rabbeinu's face. Kikaron Ar Panov was the extra ink. Kotzka brings this down. The Sefer Chaim, the brother of the Maral, writes, Moshe was a great Anov. Moshe was called Moshe Rabbeinu and not Rabbeinu Moshe. You ever know anybody today called first his name and then Rabbeinu? Everyone is Rabbeinu, Rabbi so-and-so. Moshe Rabbeinu, he wasn't called Rabbeinu Moshe, he was called Moshe Rabbeinu. Such was the anivus of Moshe that his name was first, he was called Moshe, he was called Moshe Rabbeinu. And Simcha Bun Mipashischa says, even though Moshe Rabbeinu was one of the greatest person that lived, still Moshe was the greatest honor. And of course, we all have to learn that no matter how great a person is, we all have to be humble and be an honor. And he brings down, famous Marshall, the idea, imagine a person who climbs a mountain. And he climbs up to the top, and he's standing all the way on top of the mountain. And he says, look how tall I am. Did he really change? Is he any taller? He's not any taller. He's the same height that he was when he was standing down on the ground. Below. He's standing on the mountain. It's the mountain that gives him the height. So the same is true. Every talent that a person has, every klech that a person has, every ability a person has, whatever a person does, it's because the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him the ability to do so. A person uses it the right way. He's standing on top of the mountain. But he has no right to be a balgaiv and boast. Look how tall I am. Because the mountain is not his. The mountain is given to him by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'ish ma'sha'on of ma'oid, a person has to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the kaich, gave him the ability and the talents, but a person has to use it the right way. It says later on in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Gimel, in Makayin HaMashiach Yechet Ha La'ashmas Ha'om. If the Kayin HaMashiach sins, La'ashmas Ha'om. By the guilt of the people. Remember an interesting lashon, the guilt of the people. The Kayin does the Aveiro, it's La'ashmas Ha'om. What does it mean, La'ashmas Ha'om? So the Ibn Magid has a very nice marshal to explain this pasuk. There was once Baal Bos, and he had a big storage house filled with wheat. And he just harvested the crop, he burned the wheat, and there's bushels and bushels of wheat sitting inside the storage house. And of course at night, he makes sure it's locked, that no one should be able to come inside and take anything out. One night, the ganef passes by, and the ganef looks inside, and he sees wheat. He decides he needs a sack of wheat. He breaks open the lock. He goes into the storage room. He takes out a sack of wheat. And forgets to close the door on the way out. Takes a sack of wheat, and he goes on his merry way. The door is wide open. What happens if the door is wide open?
Everybody.
The horses see, and the cows see, and all the animals start coming in to eat the wheat. And people passing by see, and before you know it, there's nothing left. People came, the animals came, they emptied out the entire storage house, not a sack of wheat, not a kernel of wheat's left. Baal HaBos comes the next morning, and there's nothing left. He does an investigation, and he finds the ganef who opened the lock, who opened the storage house, and he brings the ganef to court, and he says, he stole all of my wheat. I want to pay for everything that he took, for the entire storage house full of wheat.
Right.
And the ganef taines the whole story. I took one sack of wheat. What taina do you have on me? I pay you for the one sack of wheat that I took. I don't have to pay you for everything. Baal HaBos says to him, but you left the door open. Because you left the door open, everybody else came in afterwards. All the animals, all the people, everybody else came in afterwards. And it's your fault. You're responsible for all of the wheat. Says the Magid, HaKoyin HaMashiach. When the Kohen Gadol sins, it's L'Ashmas Ha'om. Because people look up to the Kohen Gadol. People look up to him. And when they see the Kohen Gadol doing Aveira, what happens? People learn, people follow. The Rebbe did it, we could do it. If he did it, it's mutter. Must be we're able to do it. When the Kohen sins, it's L'Ashmas Ha'om. He's responsible for the guilt, for the chatoim of the people. Because if he's not careful, and people learn from him, he's responsible for their actions. Mida Taiva is Meruba Midas Peronius. When it's good, a person does something good and others learn from him, he gets credit for what they did. Like we mentioned many times, a person comes to Shemayim after 120 years, they're going to show him, look at the shul that you built, look at this base medrash, look at what you learned. And he's going to say, I never built that shul, I never learned that mesechta, I never sat in that base medrash. And they're going to tell him, physically you didn't. But one day you were davening very well, somebody passed by and saw you davening and said, you know what? If he davened so well, then we need a shul in my town. And he went and built a shul.
Right.
Somebody else saw you learning, and he went and learned that mesechta because you were learning. And he went to the Beis HaMedrash. It's all on your cheshbon. Person has to realize that whatever he does, other people watch. And now you're going to say, little old me, who's interested in watching what I do? But the truth is, we all know that everybody, especially today's day and age, everybody is noticeable. People do watch, people do see, and a person never knows what effect he has. And has to be careful. It shouldn't be the one way, but the effect should be the right way. Comes to the Megillah, so we find Hashem's name is not mentioned anywhere in the Megillah. HaMelech is a remez to Hashem's name. Hastar asked upon him. The Lashon Hashem is hidden throughout the Megillah. And as the events unfolded in the Megillah, each part by itself didn't mean much. But after the whole story, everyone who looked back, as we go over the story, you see the whole Megillah, how every piece fit in. The Mishnah tells us in Megillah, Kariyes HaMegillah L'Mafreya Lo Yotza. One who reads the Megillah backwards is not Yotza. Poshup Shat, if you read it backwards, you miss the whole story. You have what happened later, before what happened before, you're missing the whole book. You don't have the whole flow of events. You're missing out on the Hashkocha Protis on the flow of events that happened in the Megillah. But this far and beyond another pshat. I think the Badishim says it. The Kedushas Leivim. Hakayas and Megillah Mafreya lo yotza. He reads the Megillah as if it's something that happened in Mafreya. It's not Negeya today. It's something that happened in Mafreya. It happened years ago. Happened in Persia years ago in a place called Shushan. It doesn't have any effect today. It's called Mafreya. Back then, it doesn't have anything to do with me in today's day and age. Lo yotza, it's not yotza. Because we know that when the Yom Tov comes around, especially Purim comes around, the Nisim, the Gula, the Iris of Purim are there, and they're waiting for us to take advantage of the Yom Tov every year when the Yom Tov comes around. Kol Pashit Yad, Nois Nimloi, Yom Tov of Purim, there's a tremendous, tremendous Kedusha on the Yom Tov of Purim, and the power of Purim is here every year, the same way it was in the times of Mordechai and Esther. Whoever reads the Megillah, it was Umafreya, lo yotza, it's not yotza. Person has to feel and appreciate the Kedusha of Purim in today's day and age. Purim is not a day a person should waste away. Purim is a day of Kedusha, and a vada, a mitzvah hayoyim that a person has to do. But when a person has that little bit of free time, chaperein, use it, learn, say to him, davin, chaperein, the Kedusha of Purim is there for the taking. But Chazal, we mentioned, covered it over with the mitzvah hayoyim, so people don't appreciate the Purim. But Purim is there, and a person could accomplish a lot over Purim. So this week, someone told me over a story Wednesday morning. That if I say it blew me away, close to it. Very interesting story. Hashgacha Pratis. There was a Kyle younger man in Eretz Yisrael who had a child. The baby was born, and the baby wasn't well. Baby had some heart problems, some heart issues, and the doctors in Eretz Yisrael examined the baby, one hospital to another, and at the end of the story, they decided that they couldn't treat it in Eretz Yisrael, but they sent him to Boston. The Boston hospital, where they were experts in treating this particular situation, for this particular surgery, and they sent him to Boston. Okay, he didn't know the first thing about going to Boston, so the Askanim got involved, they helped him, and he, his wife, and the baby travel from Eretz Yisrael. They travel to Boston. They come to Boston, and there was one Askin there who was helping him out and taking care of him. Took him to the hospital, and the doctors examined the baby. They went through all the reports, and the examiner said to him that the doctors in Eretz Yisrael were right. The baby Taka has this condition, and he needs this and this surgery. But on top of that, the baby needs a second surgery also for a different condition. But we have to have two different teams of doctors doing the surgery. Because one team handles this particular surgery, and the other team handles the other, and because of that, it's going to be a very expensive procedure, and so on. Bottom line is, until you give us $100,000, we're not doing anything at all. We can't do anything at all until we have $100,000 up front. $100,000? From where, man? Okay. Goes, he tells his wife the story, doesn't know. He calls up the Askin, who was helping the man in Boston. He says, here's the story. They want $100,000 before they even do anything at all. Where do I go? Can you help me out? We're here already. Can you help us out? So the Askin says, I'll tell you the truth. Here in Boston, I don't have that many contacts who to go to. I don't know what we could do, but there's one gevir that I know of here in Boston, or nearby. I'll give you his address and go to him tomorrow. Maybe we'll have some matzlocha. Let's see if he gives you something, and let's take it from there. And of course, the doctors told him time is of essence, and you know, he feels the pressure. The pressure's on. The kid, so the next morning, gets up. He doesn't know his way around. Anyway, he ends up taking a taxi. He pulls up in front of this mansion. About 11 o'clock in the morning, he pulls up. He gets out. He walks up to this big gate surrounding the mansion. And there's a security guard, a guard standing in front. And they say to him, what are you here for? I want to see Mr. So-and-so. Do you have an appointment? No. Who are you? He doesn't know any better. I'm a younger man from Eretz Yisrael. He starts his whole spiel. I'm a younger man from Eretz Yisrael. The security guard says, oh, younger man from Eretz Yisrael? Go right in. Okay. They open the gates. He walks through the courtyard. Not a story. Never started yet. No, I don't. If anyone else stop. Anybody don't know it? Okay. So he walks right in. He comes, I'll say the way that I heard it, maybe it was different. He comes, and again, he comes up to the house, and again, there's some guards standing outside. Who do you want to see? You have an appointment? No. Who are you? I'm a Yugam Mach Mertzro. Oh, Yugam Mach Mertzro? Go right in. He comes in. He has no idea what's happening. He thinks maybe they're asking, arrange something for him to come in, they're opening the doors for him. He comes inside, and he waits to see the Gevir. Seems the Gevir comes in. And the Gevir comes in with, he has a duffel bag ready, and he says to him, listen, this is all I'm giving you. I'm not giving you a penny more. I don't want to hear another word from you. This is all you're getting from me, nothing else. Take it and leave. And he gives him a duffel bag. Okay? Thank you very much. Takes a duffel bag, walks out the door. Says his goodbyes, comes back to his room, he opens the duffel bag, $100,000 cash.
Oh, wow.
No idea. He had no idea what happened. $100,000 cash in a duffel bag.
The wrong Yugurman.
It's good.
The $100,000. The kids, he calls the asking his name with, they go to the hospital, they make all the arrangements, the baby has the surgery 1, the surgery 2, and baby's fine. They go back to Eretz Yisrael. He goes back to Eretz Yisrael, he makes a Suda Saidah. He makes a Suda Saidah for the Nisan that happened to him. And by the Siddur Saidah, he tells over the story. And he's telling over the story how he came to the Gevir's house, and he said, I'm a younger man from Eretz Yisrael, and they let me in, and they gave me the duffel bag. Suddenly somebody stands up in the back and screams out, Ataganef! Zeha Kesef Shuli! Ataganef! Zeha Kesef Shuli! You're a Ganef! It's my money! And he looks at him, what are you talking about? You're a Ganef! It's my money! And by now everyone woke up. What happened? And he says, my name is Rabbi Yungerman. That's my name. My father has a kayil. And for a few years already, we're trying to get this gevir in Boston to give us money. And we've been bothering him one year after another to give us money. And he's a little bit fed up with us. And this year I went to Boston and I called him. And he was so fed up with me, he said, okay, I'll give you. Come to my house tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock. I'll give you. I don't want to hear a word out of you when you come. I'm just going to give you a duffel bag. Take it and leave. I don't want another word out of you. Whatever I'm giving you, and that's it.
Oh, my. That's great.
Bekitza. I came that morning. I got up. I was ready to leave the hotel at 9 o'clock to go to the Gevir's house. I get into the elevator, take the elevator down, and the elevator gets stuck between the floors.
Oh, yeah.
And the elevator stuck between the floors. And the elevator stuck, and the kids, by the time I got out of the elevator, and I was able to get a taxi, and run over to the Gevir's house, which was already way past 11 o'clock. I come there, and I tell them, Yugelman first is wrong. You were here already.
Yeah.
You were here. What do you mean I was here already? You were here. When? They checked with the Gevir. Yeah, I gave him the duffel bag. You were here already. And I went away without anything at all.
Wow.
And he says to the younger man, I'm taking you to the insider.
Okay.
I'm going to take you to the insider. You took my money away. Zakhes of Shuli. It's my money.
That's right.
It's my money. Okay. Okay, they go for the Torah. The kids, there's no tefillah. There's no time at all on the younger man. It was given to him. There's no tefillah at all. And they're passing that it's his 100%. But the Rav says to him, just follow through. Call back the Gevir and tell him the story. Tell him what happened.
The younger man?
Yeah. Tell him the whole story. Tell him what happened. He should know what happened. This is not
done. So which younger man with
the 100,000? The one who took the money. The one who had the money. Call back and tell him what happened. Okay, Bekitza calls back. The way I heard the story was, the Gevir heard the whole story.
Give him another money.
He said to him, I'll take care of the kayo. Don't worry about it. And to you, I'll give you an extra nice donation for all the agnes nefesh that you have. And so ends the story. But if any doubt that Kosh Baruch Hu was the world, Ashkacha brought this. for everything to work out. Punk the zoy. B'shas nice, and when everything happened, you couldn't put the 2 and 2 together. But it takes a while later, everything falls in the place. And that's life. We go through life. The elevator gets stuck. We have the appointment here. This doesn't work out. We just missed. We just came. And afterwards, you look back, and the whole story, everything fits in. Everything fits into place. And we see and sometimes we're zeichet to see the entire picture. Shtaka be zeichet, just like we're zeichet to Nisan in days of Purim, we should be zeichet to Nisan Gula, and today, Bizman Azeh, we should also Nisan, we'll have said, Yom Bizman Azeh, we should be zeichet to Gula, and Mashiach came here, we may know Amen.